Gravitas Impact offers a global community of the world's top business coaches. We strive to empower our coaches and clients alike to achieve their extraordinary goals.
Hello, everyone. This is Keith Kopp, CEO of Gravitas Impact Premium Coaches. And on today's podcast, we have Mike Carroll, sales development expert. And on our podcast, we like to help CEOs and their leadership teams stay aware of key issues to grow and protect their companies. Mike, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Keith. How are you?
I am doing very well. Let's get right into it. And so in preparation, we talked about an issue that may be a little bit hidden from CEOs in the mid-market. Why don't you frame that for us with an opening statement?
So one of the things we see, a potential blind spot that middle market CEOs have, is we see a lot of CEOs getting distracted by new, quote, shiny object sales enablement tools that are becoming available. A lot of these tools that were available maybe only to enterprise companies are now getting lower in cost, and they're starting to be implemented by more middle market companies. But there's a real danger if it's not implemented properly, and it can give CEOs a false sense of security by thinking they've got this new capability or this new tool, and it potentially distracts their team from what they really need to be focused on.
Okay, good. Now, for the audience, in a moment, we're gonna go a deeper into that and have you substantiate your argument or your position with some data, examples, case studies. But first, let's establish your authority here. Tell us a little bit about your background as a sales leader and a sales development expert.
Sure. So I've been in sales pretty much my entire life, right? I remember all the way back to the newspaper route. But, you know, my first job out of college, I was an English lit major, worked in an ad agency in Chicago, started out on the creative side, was had the intention of becoming a copywriter. I was going to do the next Just Do It campaign. I quickly learned that the gap between my writing skills and a really great ad man was pretty substantial. Luckily for me, there was a senior account exec who recognized that I had at least two clean suits and I could talk in complete sentences. And so he pulled me out of the creative side and said, let's trot Mike Carroll out in front of customers and see how he does. And that was the beginning of my sales career. Spent some time in a couple different ad agencies, worked in business banking and commercial banking, and worked in software, always in sales leadership, and in a couple cases in a more of a product management / sales role, primarily B2B. And about 15 years ago, I decided to start Intelligent Conversations and, you know, started the company with the intention of taking all that I had learned both from a sales and sales leadership perspective, but also from a market development perspective, to bring that to other clients, and haven't looked back since then. In that 15 years, we've worked with thousands of salespeople, hundreds of sales people, probably hundreds of CEOs at this point, to try and transform their sales organizations and really drive growth across those organizations.
Okay, great. And for the audience, Mike is not only a sales development expert with a background in sales, he is the principal of Intelligent Conversations, built based out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And they work with CEOs and vice president of sales to help them create growth strategies and build their sales teams so that they have acquisition of revenue to meet or exceed their plans. Mike, let's start with define sales enablement tools. And then let's get into the nuts and bolts of the concern and how to solve that for CEOs.
So sales enablement, I would say, is just a broad category of different things that might help optimize a sales organization. So it could be anything from documenting a sales process or really dialing in an onboarding process. And these are things that every sales organization should have in place, things like that. What we're seeing, and probably the most obvious examples of sales enablement software tools are all the various CRM category or tools that are out there. We see Salesforce has a certain amount of ubiquity across the market. Microsoft Dynamics, after they started bundling that in with their Office 365 subscriptions, they're gaining market share. And there's a whole range of sort of smaller specialty CRM tools. And then around those CRM tools, there's an ecosystem of add-on tools for reporting or for, hooks into other parts of your organization, your ERP system or your marketing systems. So that's one category of sales enablement tools. We also see a lot in the content management space, tools like HubSpot or Pardot or Marketo. These are things that maybe bridge the gap between marketing and sales. So those are a couple examples of the kinds of tools that are becoming more readily utilized by middle market companies. Maybe 5 years ago, these kind of lived up in the enterprise space or the larger end of the middle market space. But as the price comes down and as they become more ubiquitous, we see a lot of middle market CEOs and teams implementing these types of tools.
Okay, excellent. And so what's the challenge as these tools come down market and proliferate? And what should a CEO be doing with this?
So one of the biggest blind spots that I see when a CEO or their team implements a tool like, there's a tool called Insight Square that can give you insights into your Salesforce application, right? And you get these beautiful reports and you get this awesome dashboard and you can gain a false sense of security, right? Because now you're taking this, what was often just a spreadsheet with a sales forecast and kind of deals by stage and that kind of thing. And now you've got these beautiful dials and, you have a lot prettier report. And it gives you that sense of security. Like, look, I have control now over my sales process. I have control over my sales forecast. I have better insight into my sales forecast. And I'm not against that tool, but I think it has to be used appropriately. At the end of the day, what matters more than how pretty your dashboard looks is what information is going in there. And the report is only going to be as good as the quality of data the sales team puts in. And that's only going to be as good as the quality of the coaching the sales leader is giving that sales team. And so, what I worry about is CEOs who have these cool shiny objects, these cool reports, and they believe them. And they think, okay, well, look, I can accurately predict when we're going to get this revenue. And if the sales leader isn't having the right conversation with the salesperson, and the salesperson isn't having the right conversation with the prospect, it's still kind of a crapshoot. They don't really know, even though they have a beautiful report, they may not know really where they stand with that customer or prospective customer.
So it's very important then what I'm hearing and also my observation and working with mid-market firms and listening to coaches that in the system and for the sales individual, there's good training templates and a quality assurance mechanism to make sure that the right quality and quantity of data is being input. Is that correct?
That's correct. And to that end, I would say, it may or may not be the right training, right? That could be a part of it. But what's more important than that is making sure that everybody in the sales organization has an understanding of the key milestones that need to be reached. But here's the mistake that we see made. Most companies, most sales leaders, when they map out a sales process, they map it out from the company's perspective. Here's where I am, here's what I did, here's what I have to do next. And what I like to do is flip that around and look at it from the prospective buyer's perspective. Think of it in terms of, instead of what steps do I need to do next, think of it in terms of what commitments do I need to collect from the other party. And when you flip it around like that, and so you could take any pipeline right now and have a salesperson walk you through it. If you turn that around and just ask a few facilitative questions and ask, okay, so tell me how you know that. Tell me what was said from the prospect to give you confidence that that's where this is. And what commitments have they made? And how freely are they sharing information? And how much visibility do you have into their decision process? I think what happens is a lot of times salespeople are fueled by hope and they're fueled by pressure to show progress instead of focusing on the prospective customer and trying to move them through the process in a way that gathers commitments along the way.
Mike, talk a little bit about What are some specifics around solving this problem? Talk a little more depth there as we have CEOs listening in. They're leaning forward right now on the podcast and saying, okay, I understand the challenge here. What should I do? What would you recommend?
So number one, and this will sound counterintuitive, but just because you can doesn't mean that you should. And what I mean by that is, and I'm staying on CRMs for a second, right? Most implementations of, say, Salesforce.com kind of follow the default pipeline settings of that process. It comes with a kind of a default sales process. It goes from suspect to prospect to needs analysis to qualify to negotiate to lost ad, right? And I'm probably getting those wrong. I haven't looked at a Salesforce pipeline in a couple of days, but something along those lines. And they just kind of default to that, right? And Salesforce and software engineers in general are motivated to add as many features and benefits and as many hooks and add-ons as possible. And so just because it's there doesn't mean you necessarily should use it. You have the capability of changing that sequence of events. You can customize them. You don't need to hire an outside firm to do that. That's something that you can do inherently. So I would say, number one, don't just take what's out right out of the box. Take a moment and really look at the buyer's journey from your prospect's perspective rather than from your salesperson's perspective. So that's number one. The second thing I would say is it's important that that sales has a voice at the table. It's amazing to me how many CRM implementations happen where marketing is driving it, or operations is driving it, or some other person. And sales is almost an afterthought. They say, well, mainly because salespeople don't want to sit on a committee and do this kind of work. That's part of the problem. But if you don't have sales at the table right from the beginning, and if you don't define the requirements before you pick a solution, you'll find yourself backing into something that's coming, from the vendor rather than from your sales team.
Recently, Mike, I interviewed Joey Coleman, author of Never Lose Another Customer. And one thing that I took away from the interview with Joey is he has a tremendous framework looking back from the customer's perspective through the organization. So I just want to highlight that for listeners too, for that framework. Mike, you talk about marketing now. You've introduced marketing as a role player, an important player in the process and the challenge here. What are you seeing trend-wise regarding the relationship between sales and marketing, any disconnects, and how should that be optimized in an organization?
Disconnects never happen between sales and marketing. I have no idea what you're talking about. That's ridiculous. No. So yeah, we see, it's almost a miracle. A miracle occurs when a lead is effectively handed off from marketing to sales. Couple problems that we see. One, many people who are focused on marketing are producing excellent content, and they're trying to do a content-driven marketing campaign, and they want to try and educate the market and put case studies out and videos out and all sorts of wonderful tools. And they'll do email marketing and all these things, but they have to make sure that they're targeting the right people, right? And so a quick stop by the VP of sales office to say, here's what we're doing, here's the audience, here's who we're engaging. I can't tell you how many times I have a conversation, at least a couple times a month, with a frustrated sales leader who says, I got all these leads from marketing. I wish they would target the right people. Mm-hmm. And so just a fundamental misunderstanding, just because you can create this great content and you can get a higher response rate from a title that can't buy doesn't mean you should do it, right? Because what happens is then those leads get handed off to your sales team and they look at them and go, why would I talk to this person? That's not even who's involved in the decision process, right? So there's a fundamental disconnect there. I think sales has some responsibility too. I think I not twice a month, but I've had conversations with marketing directors who do all this work to generate leads, and leads are like bananas. If you don't call them right away, they're going to go bad. And so, the speed to market, the efficacy of the sales team to pick up the phone, get on the phone right away. It's not just a quick phone call and you get a sale. For the most part, you've got to reach out to someone who downloads a white paper or watches a video or signs up for a free trial. They're raising their hand saying, hey, somebody call me. It can still take 15, 16, 17 attempts to get them on the phone. Mm-hmm. And most salespeople give up after two or three, right? So I think there's responsibility going both ways. I would coach CEOs listening to this to really make sure that their sales and marketing teams are coordinating and focusing, you know, agreeing on who the right targets are, and make sure that the sales leader rather is holding their team accountable to how quickly they're following up on these leads, how fast they're taking that and moving it forward, and also making sure that there's a good feedback loop so that the marketing folks can use that knowledge to improve and, you know, get better with their targeting over time. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about measurement here as we come into the last part of our podcast. Yeah, what would you recommend to a CEO, mid-market company, growth company, growing fast, has a great leadership team? What five metrics, 3 to 5 metrics, they should be asking the VP of sales for, looking into their CRM, knowing that they have a lot coming at them? What would be the handful of metrics for this?
So I think net new opportunities, right? So depending on the maturity of the sales team and the length of the sales cycle and, you know, all those types of things, you may even want to go one step ahead of that and track net new conversations, right? But ultimately, a CEO should focus on, hey, how many opportunities are we adding to the pipeline? Now, an opportunity isn't just a conversation. That's finding someone who has the authority and the power to buy, who has a clear need, and you've already had at least, you know, somewhat of a conversation with them. Maybe they're not full, you haven't gone through a full discovery or qualification process, but they need what we have, and we're in dialogue with them, right? That to me is an opportunity. So I want to track number of incoming opportunities and, you know, are they the right size company? Are they the right size opportunity? You know, that's sort of probably the first leading metric to look at. The next thing I want to look at is movement from one stage of your sales process to the next. And, you know, even putting time limits on how long should an opportunity be at each stage so that we can start to see opportunities that are aging out, right? We often design a sales process map where we'll produce a weighted pipeline. And if an opportunity is sitting at a stage too long, that dollar value for that opportunity gets backed out, right? So gives a little bit more accuracy to that weighted pipeline than just saying, oh, it's at this stage, I'm going to count it for 30%. You know, if it's been at that stage for more than X days, you know, we're going to back that out, right? So I would say new opportunities, movement from stage to stage, and then win ratio, right? So how many opportunities are getting to a proposal, and are we winning our share of proposals? And if not, why not? I don't always recommend tracking number of proposals. A lot of CEOs will focus on that. I actually have worked with clients where we've significantly decreased the level or the number of quotes or proposals they send out, but we've increased their win ratio. Sort of a 2-for-1 benefit, right? Because what we're doing is we're putting in a more rigorous discovery and qualification process. And so we're disqualifying more opportunities. And so by the time it gets to a proposal stage, we know there's a good fit. We know we've done all the work in terms of qualifying their budget and their timeline, their decision process, the competition, everything else you need to qualify. And, you know, I would rather have fewer hours spent putting proposals together and win more of that smaller number than just throw a bunch of proposals at the wall and see what sticks. So it's a little bit of a shift in mindset, but to me, it's tracking, you know, net new opportunities, movement from stage to stage, and then proposals and proposals won. Those are, I guess that's 4 metrics I'd add.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Well, let's see. So as we bring things to a close here in a few moments, and I want to turn to you a little bit about your background and what's important. But first, so summarize the challenge again, and what's the downside if a CEO does not deal with this issue?
So CEOs are getting distracted by all the tools available to them, the sales enablement tools, whether that's CRM or content management or other things. And while it's great that those tools are becoming available to the middle market, be careful that you don't get distracted. Be careful that you don't gain, you know, the downside potential is you have a false sense of security because you've got really awesome looking forecasts and reports. And you have to look under the hood and really inspect and make sure that the right behaviors are occurring both between the salesperson and the prospect and also the sales leader and the salespeople. The quality of the data is ultimately what's going to matter. I would rather have really high quality data in an Excel spreadsheet rather than low quality data in a fancy sales dashboard in a CRM.
Okay. Mike, tell us first about intelligent conversations. What does your firm do?
So our focus is on impact, right? We want to impact, starts with our team. So we want to help our team improve, grow, constantly learn. When we take care of our team can take care of our customers. We want to help middle market companies grow and really transform their sales organization so they can fuel that growth through better sales conversations. And we want to have an impact on our community. We care about where we live here in Milwaukee, but really, you know, by impacting salespeople so they can impact revenue growth at their companies, that's ultimately about creating jobs and having an impact on the markets we serve. So community impact is a big part of that mission as well.
And tell us about Mike Carroll. What's important to you, Mike, and why do you do what you do?
I'm fortunate to be in a situation where I can do what I love to do, right? I have four children, beautiful wife, been married for almost 25 years, coming up on that 25th wedding anniversary. So what I'm fueled by is the joy I get from my family, first and foremost. But I'm also fueled by the impact I can have on individual salespeople, sales leaders, and on companies, right? So that's what makes me tick. I'm excited to get into work every day. I like what I do. I like it when I have an opportunity to work hands-on with the sales team, either directly in a workshop or listening to calls that they make, listening in and coaching them in the moment. I just get tremendous satisfaction from taking a person who comes into our program at the beginning with, you know, what they think are excellent skills. We measure those skills. We put them through an improvement program to see the progress they can make in a handful of quarters. You know, a typical program for us, we might work with the company 6 to 8 quarters, and the salespeople who start with us and go through that entire process, go through that whole journey, just improve tremendously. So that's where I get that's what gets me up in the morning, right? That's what I love to do.
Okay, Mike Carroll, principal at Intelligent Conversations, sales development expert. Thank you for your time today, and CEOs and leadership teams listening in. There is a white paper that Mike is providing. We're providing as a follow-up from this podcast. And this is Keith Cupp, CEO of Gravitas Impact Premium Coaches. Thanks for listening in today. Michael, thank you.
Thank you.
For more valuable content and actionable resources, visit www.gravitasimpact.com.